Maybe some of you have been religious all your life. You've done the things you're supposed to do. You've followed the Bible per se, but you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ. You may elevate those things. You may say, this makes me right before God, but it doesn't. And when you come to faith, you need to see all of that gain as loss when you come to faith. This is a true conversion.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have an email from Lisa. She says, I listen to your program as often as I can and so appreciate your insight. May God bless you all your days and all of your ways, Lisa. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your encouraging words, and thank you so much for contacting Equipping the Saints. We so appreciate interacting with those who are listening to the Word of God through the ministry of Equipping the Saints. And I also just wanted to thank and praise our God for those of you who pray for us, for those of you who support this ministry financially. We are so thankful for how God has used you to get His Word out. So we just want to praise the Lord and thank Him. And I want to thank our listeners also. Praise the Lord.
Greg, in your message today, you talk about the cost of following Christ, and that is not a popular topic today, is it?
Well, it really isn't. It's actually quite unpopular, and it's offensive to many. And even within the church, the thought that the Christian life would be anything but blessings and comfort is unheard of in our culture these days. And yet what we see throughout the New Testament, and as we'll see today, that this type of evangelical American Christianity is really not historically what we see in Scripture of those who would be following Christ. Now, in light of that, we're going to see today the Apostle Paul give us a realistic view at what we should expect when we follow Christ. If you have a Bible handy, turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you value? Different people value different things, right? We have what people call values, right? And those values are our paradigm in a sense of what we weigh, the things we think that are important, things that we don't. What do you value the most? What is the most important thing in your life? Well, today we're going to continue our look at the marks of a true believer. And we're going to see what the Apostle Paul valued most. We're going to see that there should be a change in our hearts where we see the great treasure of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And for some of you, you've seen that when you've come to faith in Him, but yet we can be dulled by the deceitfulness of sin. We can be dulled by the things around us, our circumstances. And I pray that those of you who are saved here today have a fresh value of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Turn with us in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're continuing our study of this incredible book, and I hope you've been blessed by the sermons I have. It's just such a blessing to prepare them, such a blessing to go through them. What a wonderful book. And Paul said, I consider it right to remind you of these things. And so we come to our passage here. The Apostle Paul is writing a dear group of believers, the Philippian church, and he is writing a church that he founded about 10 years before. It's about 62 AD. He's in chains in Rome, about to go before Caesar. He could live or die, but inspired by the Spirit, we see in chapter 1, he believes he will continue on. But in this book, we've seen his heart towards this Philippian church, thankful that God had brought about work in them, thankful and confident that God would complete that work that he started. And then he prayed for them that they would have real discernment in the context of the knowledge of Christ. They would be able to make the right choices, that Christ is magnified. And we saw in his circumstances, the Philippians shouldn't be discouraged, but encouraged. You see, because when God's behind things, it's an encouragement. And God was allowing the Apostle Paul to suffer for the gospel. And Paul said it had actually brought about a greater progress of the gospel. So he rejoiced. And within that, he brought about and shared his heart that he wanted in all things Christ to be magnified. And then he addressed the Philippians and their hearts and their attitudes. And within that, we saw the Apostle Paul was wanting them to not be disturbed by those who were in opposition. He wanted them to stand firm and strive for the gospel, knowing that their not being disturbed is a sign to their opponents of their destruction and of the Philippians' salvation. Then we came to chapter 2, where we saw that the Apostle Paul, based on the things that we all in Christ possess together, exhorting them to unity, to like-mindedness, based on seeing others as more important than yourself, that in everything, you are more important than me. And that's how we make our decisions as believers. We think of Christ as supreme, but ultimately the believers around us as super more important. We're to not in any way have vain glory or elevate ourselves, but see others as important. And we're to have the mind of Christ, which was very clearly that he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant. He didn't see equality with God, a thing to be grasped, but he did empty himself. And then he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death. He became a servant, and he served us to the point of death by obeying the Father's will for us. And therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Tremendous reality. And then we had the first command in our book, do all things without complaining and arguing. Everything, not one thing should a believer argue about. Not one thing should we complain about. And the reality within the context of that, it's because God is what work at us. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because God is doing a work in us. He is working out what is going in, right? He's working that out in our behavior. And then we saw some incredible examples of faith to follow. The Apostle Paul first, and then Timothy and Epaphroditus. And coming into chapter 3, the Apostle Paul again says, I consider it right to remind you of these things. Peter said the same thing in 1 Peter, to remind you, to say these things. It's no burden, and it's a safeguard for you. And he said, beware, beware, beware. And it was of the false guys, the bad guys, who come along and add to what Christ has done, divert you from the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And then he gave the example that we are the true circumcision. We are those who are truly the Lord's, who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. And it's from this point we come to the Apostle Paul's testimony, where he shares his mindset before Christ, his mindset when he came to Christ, and then his mindset afterwards. And we've seen the first two. We're going to review those, but we're going to look at his mindset afterwards today. Again, let's take a look at Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verse 8, but we will read through 8 through 11. And I want to back up a little bit because our passage is really tied together. And so I'm going to read up through it, and then we'll look at our passage, and I'm going to read past it, and we'll see that context of where we are at today. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. And then what we saw last week, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is found in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And then our passage for today. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. That's what we'll look at today, but I want to read through what connects with this. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is a tremendous passage. Tremendous passage that helps us refocus. You see, we get our bearings off, right? We get sidetracked by the things in life, the things that are going on in our lives, and we need to refocus and get our focus on the things that are the most important. Now, let's review what we've seen the last time. Remember, the Apostle Paul's mindset he had before Christ, he actually had good earthly reason to be confident in the flesh. He had good reason from an earthly standpoint to put confidence in the flesh, and we'll explain that. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and we saw in the end of verse 3, that true believers put no confidence in the flesh. They don't weight their confidence in man and man's abilities, or oneself and oneself's abilities, or anything about that. They put their confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. But then he went on to say, hey, if I could, here's what really would happen. Here's the reality here. Here's the reality that I could put so much confidence in the flesh. Notice his mindset before. He says, verse 4, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. In relationship to those false teachers, they were Jews probably, who were adding into the work of Christ. They would certainly agree with Christ came, trust in Jesus Christ, but they were adding things to do rather than trusting in Christ. You see, as we receive Christ, we are to walk in Him. We're to walk in Him the same way we received Him on day one when we came to faith. We believed in Him. We believed His truth and we obeyed it. And He called upon us to turn to Him and believe in Him. And we obeyed. We trusted in Him, the obedience of faith. And then that works out in our lives. And so he says here, but if anyone had confidence, I far more than that group of guys, those false guys, those guys you're to beware of. I far more. And then he's going to give his list of things that he did put his confidence in. And he starts and he says here, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. This guy was circumcised the eighth day. He was a purebred Jew. He was not a proselyte. He was not one who came to it later on. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel. He's an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, the primary tribe, the one that was exalted in Israel's eyes besides Judah from which Christ came from. A Hebrew of Hebrews. He was raised from a family that was devoted to the Lord of the Bible. And he was raised to be one also. A Hebrew of Hebrews. So Paul had relied on and had great reason, worldly speaking, to rely in his religious heritage. Hey, if you want to rely on a heritage, I got the heritage. I got the heritage in relationship to the God of the Bible, right? What's found in the law, right? That's what he would say. And then we saw that he also had reached the pinnacle of religious accomplishment. We see in the end of verse 5, as to the law, a Pharisee. Now we know that he was trained under Gamaliel and he was advancing beyond his contemporaries for his age. And then we know not only was he qualified in a sense from his heritage and he had reached that pinnacle of being a Pharisee. And then we also see that his zeal was unmatched. He was in his own mind sincerely following Yahweh, the God of the Bible. That's what he would say. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. He went after those whom he deemed as enemies of God. He sincerely believed that. He was zealous for God. But yet he was zealous without knowledge, and he was wrong. And we know his zeal led him to persecute the church and chase Christians and oversee them being put to death even. Acts chapter 8. You see, unfortunately, you can be sincere, religiously speaking, and be sincerely wrong. So Paul had confidence in his heritage. He had confidence in his religious accomplishments. He was zealously sincere. And his religion, notice in the end of verse 6, he was faultless in regards to the word of God, the law, he says here, as to the righteousness which is in the law found blameless or faultless. Hey, if you looked at the law of God, you looked at the outside of the cup, the Apostle Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, he was clean as can be like the other Pharisees. But as he would find out, and as we see in Scripture, he would come to recognize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That you can clean the outside of the cup all you want, but the inside, if it's not changed by Jesus Christ, it's full of dead men's bones. And so he was on the outside, fully clean, but on the inside, he would realize later on that road to Damascus, 25 years earlier, he would meet the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He would meet Him, the glorified Lord, and within that, he would understand what he would write later on in Romans chapter 3. Because of the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. You see, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, had it all backwards. But he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read this last week, but let's read it again. Let's look into Acts chapter 26, where the Apostle Paul is recounting his testimony and salvation. He's on trial for the gospel. And he's recounting the reality of what Christ has done for him. Acts chapter 26, verse 12. While thus engaged, I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said to me, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only of the things which you have seen, but also the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. He was sent to share the word of God, which opens people's eyes so that they might turn and be delivered from the domain of darkness, be delivered from their sin, and receive the forgiveness of sins. So Paul had a conversion. He truly came to faith. And we saw his mindset beforehand. Although these guys do this, I have much greater reason to put confidence in the flesh. We saw that list of stuff. But notice his mindset at conversion. Verse 7. But whatever things were continually habitually in the past, that's how the verb is, were gained to me. The words are accounting words, and gain or loss, you know. You think about it, if you think of the stock market, I gained this or I lost that, or I lost everything, gained it or whatever it might be. He says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss. The ledger sheet spiritually that I thought was a gain, I have counted as damage, as loss, as total loss. The word was used to speak of the total loss of a ship in a shipwreck. I have counted, that word speaks of making a decision after weighing the facts. Considering, thinking, having opinion, regarding, esteeming. It's the same word we have in James. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Make the mental determination to understand the truth and then respond differently. He says here, whatever things were gained to me, I have counted those things as loss. Total damage, loss, total destruction. They're worthless, as we're going to see. You see, Paul continually used to see his religious heritage, his sincerity, his actions, this external righteousness. He continually saw it as gain in the column of his relationship with God. And when he came to Jesus Christ, he recognized all of that was actually loss. And maybe some of you have been religious all your life. You've done the things you're supposed to do. You've followed the Bible, per se. But you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ. You may elevate those things. You may say, this makes me right before God, but it doesn't. And when you come to faith, you need to see all of that gain as loss when you come to faith. This is a true conversion. The Apostle Paul truly came to Jesus Christ. After weighing the facts, the reality of what he thought was gain, he saw it all as loss. And later on, we're going to see he sees it all as rubbish. Everything in light of knowing Christ. And notice it's for the sake of Christ, because of Christ. It's because of Christ my attitude has changed towards my former confidence. You see, you can't come to faith in Jesus Christ without being fully confident in him. You can't come to him if you have confidence in anything else religiously. And his former confidence was in those things, but now he saw all of that as rubbish, as trash. You got to throw it out. Throw out those religious systems in your heart and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And that's the same way we walk day to day. We recognize that our own abilities, our own strength, our own talents, those things are nothing before the Lord. We trust in him, and if we allow him to use us from the inside, certainly, but we trust in the Lord. We trust in him. In the same way we did when we came to faith. As you have received Jesus Christ, so walk in him. So with that in mind, we've seen the Apostle Paul's conversion. We've seen what's happened to him. He saw it all as loss. And I tell you, if you're putting confidence in anything else than Jesus Christ, you're going to experience great loss with the things that you think are a gain. You know, if you save your life, you're going to lose your own soul. You give up your life, your sinful life, which is just a lie anyway, in a sense, because it doesn't provide true joy or happiness or life. You give that up, you receive everything. You know, you may know the Lord, but does the Lord know you? We're going to see that it's a relationship. It's a relationship with the living God. And so let's take a look at his current mindset. I'm going to read verse 7, but verse 8 is what we're going to look at today. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Notice the Apostle Paul continually counted as loss everything, as we're going to see, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And we're going to see that nothing actually compares to the value of truly knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, what's interesting is in the Greek language, if you could read this, you'd see something very interesting. You'd see a compound of five Greek particles, ala, men, ge, ge, and kai. All these things that you can't see here. You only need one of those to transition, but he's got five of them. And you could say it like this, but rather, yes, indeed, therefore, even. There's something important here. And there's only a few other places where this is used. The Lord uses it to speak of his word. You know, those who follow him, that they obey the word of God. But yet, even then, he uses this word. So here he says, but yes, rather, indeed, even therefore, I count all things to be total loss. The things that he had just mentioned, he certainly includes. We'll look at that. He certainly includes those things. But here he adds the term all. He's including his former religiousness, as he's already counted as loss. But now it's present tense. I presently, continually count all things as loss on the value system of my heart, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. So what does he mean by the term all things? Well, again, it does include his former religious self-confidence, his self-righteousness, all those things. But actually, there's more to it. But what does he mean by the term all things? You know, people that don't have the Spirit of God can get all mixed up and start seeing it all wrong. What does he mean by all things? In the middle of verse 8, he says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, I'd imagine that most Christians would have no problem saying that they agree with the statement that nothing compares to knowing Christ. But it doesn't seem to move past our heads down to our hearts. So how do we change that?
Well, Dave, it's only when our thinking is truly changed that we will value what is truly valuable. You see, the facts are, if we say nothing compares to knowing Christ, yet don't prioritize knowing Christ, practically speaking, we really don't believe that knowing Christ is the most important thing. So how does that change? Well, first and foremost, we need to realize that most often it is sin that is obscuring our view of God. Practically speaking, at times, we do not value Christ and his ways because we are focused on our own ways. And we need to allow God's word to convict us, and we need to turn and repent from that sin. And we need to dive into God's word so that we might see Christ clearly and thus know him better. And then you'll find out, as you see him clearly, we'll begin to value him above all else.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.